today's episode of Jazzed, former Jazz man Alec Burks joins the show. AB shares what it was like playing in the NBA bubble without fans. Did he like it? Did he hate it? We talk a bunch about former teammates, Joe Ingles, Al Jefferson, Rudy Gobert, what it was like playing for Quinn. Alec shares some memories about Kobe Bryant, what he meant to the game. Just a really fun conversation with Alec, and it was really fun to catch up with him and just see how he's doing. And he knows, he always feels the love from Jazz fans, and he knows the love, as he says, the love is real and it's mutual. We've got the one and only AB. Alec Burks is joining the show. AB, how are you, man?
I'm good. What's up? I'm good.
I think I got to start with our relationship over the years was built on a specific phrase, you would say, hey, shout me out. That's kind of how we kind of stay connected is every now and then, you know, I'd shout you out on Twitter and you saw it and we kind of hooked up with it.
Yeah, you know, just younger, I want to shout out to me and everybody, you know, the Jazz at the time. Even Utah Jazz got a big fan base across the world, so I was just trying to give a shout out. Me, Twitter followers as I could, and that's how it all started. You were the man with the blood, so I was trying to get you know, many people to follow me as I could.
And it became like I said, it was I remember times being at like City Creek Mall in downtown Salt Lake, and I think you might have lived around there, and you'd see me, and you would just kind of yell, hey, shout me out. And it was just kind of like almost like our phrase that we would say to each other.
Yeah, man, it was fun. Hey, I told you, you had all the power in the world. I felt like with that social media. So I was trying to get it. I was trying to get my message across. You heard me loud and clear.
Well, here we are. It's September now. It's kind of such a weird time as like an NBA fan, and I mean an NBA player, to have the season, you know, your season just ended, but the season's still going, and it's September and it's not May or June. Just, I want to talk about like the NBA bubble and what it was like for you playing in the bubble. What was it like?
I don't know how to explain it. We were just so isolated from real world, you know, real life. I mean, so that part was weird, but the basketball, I mean, that's all it was. It was better basketball, I felt like, because we was just locked in. That's all we had to do. That's all we came down to, is play basketball. So I think that wise it was good, but just outside of basketball, it was tough.
Well, tell me a little bit about like outside of basketball. I mean, as fans, like we kind of see, you know, obviously you're at a resort, you're in a hotel, but you know, I don't know if you're a golfer or a fisherman or whatever. Like, what did you do to pass the time, like in between like games and practices?
I started golfing like the first week just because the days I felt like it was running long, you know. So, but that stopped. It was just too hot. That Florida humidity was crazy. And then I just started, I don't know, just mingling with my friends, my teammates, just anything, everything I could do. Cornhole, I did so many different things, but it's still, you don't do that stuff so many times. And then we was down there, I was down there 40 days, 41 days, so it just got old after a while.
Oh, I bet. I talked to someone before about the only time I can remember like being in one place for that long is like, say like Vegas Summer League, when you would go down there.
Oh, yeah.
But that was only like 2 weeks and you're still in Vegas and you can kind of go around the city and there's people around. But even that, like after a few days, you're pretty spent.
Yeah, in Vegas, you can leave, come back, go somewhere, leave the hotel, drive somewhere, you know, go see different stuff, you know, around the strip. In Orlando, in a bubble, you couldn't do nothing. You left the bubble, you was getting quarantined, or you had to actually leave Orlando, period. So it was just different that way.
When you got down there, did everybody have to quarantine like in their room for a certain number of days, like when you first got there?
Yeah, I think the first it was 36 hours, we had to stay in our room.
Wow.
And then you got tested once in between that, and then as long as your test came back negative, they let you out at the end of that, and then you can start moving around.
What did you do in your room? I mean, are we talking like Madden, video games? Are you binging like Netflix shows?
Yeah, it's more a TV show. I ain't really a video game player. It was like TV shows. I just watched a whole bunch of that. A lot of FaceTime with my family, just stuff like that. A lot of looking out the window.
Yeah.
Just weird stuff, just walking around my room, pacing, just stuff like that. So
that, That sounds, I mean, that sounds rough. Like you mentioned, you know, like playing the basketball part of it sounds like was the release. Like you got to actually go and like do what you love. And, but it, on, you know, just watching it on TV, it seems weird, like not having fans. Like what was it like playing, you know, and there's people in the gym obviously, but it's mostly just the teams and the coaches, refs. Like what was it like not playing in front of fans?
It was just like practice, I would say. It's basically like training camp. That's what we used to in training camp, practice. Nobody's in the gym except for a couple of people, you know, extra coaches, GMs, which was the same environment in the bubble. So, I mean, I was used to it. It's basketball at the end of the day for me. But I know some people couldn't adjust to it because, you know, they're used to so many people screaming at you. They feed off that, you know, a lot of people do. So, you know, it's a give or take. It just depends on what you like and what you need to get in your zone, you know, to play the game.
Do you think... It seems like, because we've seen some games, you know, where the Raptors are scoring 150 points in regulation, and I'm sure you saw what Donovan and Jamal Murray were doing. It seems like as a fan watching on TV, without kind of that distraction, it seems like offense is easier to play. Maybe you can hear each other better. There's not anybody screaming at you. Would you say, was it easier for you to play without fans as far as the offensive side, or was it just kind of the same for you?
I think for me, it just brought back the essence, the love of it. You know, I always love the game, but that's the pure form, just basketball, no distractions, no nothing. Just you, your teammates, the ball and the hoop. And I think that's the love. That's where the love comes from. I think that's what you see out there. People just playing for the love of the game because there's nobody around you. So you just hooping, you know, just because you love the game so much.
Yeah. One thing that I think Jazz fans, and I'm sure they're not alone in this, is, you know, we keep tabs on our former guys. And, you know, you were on the Sixers. Howell Neto was your teammate on the Sixers. You're going against Enes Kanter, former teammate. I know Gordon was on that team. He didn't really play. But, like, my question is, like, when you're former teammates and you're playing together or you're playing against former teammates, do you notice that? Or, like, is it kind of just like every guy's out there and doesn't really matter that you used to play together? Or is there kind of, like, a little bit of a bond because you spent time with someone in a city on a team somewhere?
Yeah, I got love for everybody I play with, you know. But when the ball's up, you know, we trying to compete. They trying to come at me, I'm trying to come at them. But, you know, we're going to have our moments in between, you know, timeouts and little stuff like that before and after the game. In the bubble, you know, you see everybody basically, so. That, and since that way, you'll see each other. But, you know, in the regular season, you would go to different cities, you see your people, you know. I mean, I got love for anybody that ever played with, I got love for, you know.
So when you mentioned, like, seeing them around the bubble, and I know, I don't even really know how it went. Was there only, like, certain number of teams in certain number of areas, right? Maybe when there were still 22 teams, like, here's these six, and here's those six, and here's those eight, like, were you, you kind of just see just players everywhere? Is that kind of the only people you would even see around or the other teams?
I would just see the people that was around my little resort because at the other two locations, it was one big hotel. At the one I was in, it was like a resort kind of feel. It was different buildings in the hotel. So I would just mainly see those people that was in those teams that was in my resort, actually. You know, so that's how it would be. You just see people being outside or being at the pool or being fishing. You just see people walking around because, you know, nothing else to do really besides play basketball.
Yeah. So. What was, like, the craziest thing you saw while you were there? Was there anything crazy? Or is it just kind of just the random cornhole, golf, cards or whatever?
No, I didn't see nothing. I mean, I didn't see nothing. Kind of crazy. I got to know more people just because we all got this common thing. We stuck in this bubble. I feel like that brought a lot of different people that would never be around each other together.
Yeah. You mentioned FaceTiming a lot. I know you're a dad. You got a little girl. I'm a dad. Yeah. I think that part would be really tough to just be isolated without, you know, your family and your kid around. First of all, how's the fam doing? And I'm sure those FaceTimes were besides the games, maybe the thing you look forward to the most.
Yeah, it was tough, you know. I got to do that daughter thing. I got my wife's pregnant right now. I got a boy on the way, so that's even more tough. Well,
congratulations, man.
Thank you. Being like from her during that pregnancy for 2 months, but, you know, the FaceTime, yeah, that's what I look forward to. My daughter calling me, and just that love, you know, you can't get that love, you know, on FaceTime, but you try to make me do, you know, what you got, you know, so. So that was the tough one.
Yeah. And I know you're a Kansas City guy. Are you there now?
Yeah, I'm back in Kansas City. Yeah.
Nice. I wanted to ask you, I know it's not basketball, but I'm pretty sure you're a huge Chiefs fan. And I know people who are Chiefs fans, they're kind of like Jazz fans, sort of, where they love their team like no other. What was that like seeing like your team like get the Super Bowl finally?
That was love. I mean, I think it was just great for the city. I think the city deserved it. So many diehard fans. You know, I think it was just a big win for the city in general.
And you know a thing or two about diehard fans. You played in Utah for 7.5 years. Were drafted here. Yeah. I know you got a lot of love. You mentioned you got a lot of love for your former teammates, but I'm sure you got a lot of love for Jazz fans. What is it about Jazz fans that are unique compared to like other fans that you've played for?
I think the love, man, I don't want to say craziness about the team, but just the love, you know, the diehard love, genuine love for the players that, you know, are in Salt Lake. I think that makes them top one, top two in the league, you know, because they was different, man. They knew everything about you. They knew your family. They just showed you so much love, man. You couldn't help but embrace it, you know, show the love back.
You mentioned, you know, Salt Lake, and I know you're a free agent, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but one thing that, you know, being in Salt Lake in a small market, fans kind of have, I don't know, we kind of feel like, you know, free agents don't like coming here. Players don't like playing in Utah. Like, so you lived here for, you know, 7.5 years. What is like the vibe or what is the feeling amongst like NBA players about Salt Lake?
It's the, you know what you don't know, in a sense, you know, if that makes sense, you know. Until you be out there and you know, see the people be in the city like I was, and I was there almost 8 years, you know, you wouldn't know what was there because, you know, most players come in a day, if that, 2 days, or back-to-back, not even a whole day, you know, play and leave. So they don't know what's really going on in Salt Lake City. So, but like, if you just go out there and spend some real time, then you understand, you'll like it, you know.
Yeah. So you're a free agent now. And I know that like the NBA schedule is kind of all messed up with, you know, COVID, and the season might be starting in January. We don't even really know. Free agency is going to be, you know, October into the July. What is that like for you? Kind of, you know, the season just ended, so I'm sure you're taking a minute to, or maybe you're not, maybe you're just straight up training, but, what is that process like for you, right now? And is it weird that it's not the normal schedule?
It's different. I'm not gonna lie. It was Labor Day Monday, and I'm in Kansas. The season just ended for me, so it's just crazy. So it's different, but you know, I'm taking some time off right now. Let my body, you know, get back to where it is, and I'm gonna start training and just wait till free agency, wherever that happens, or what the draft will happen first, and then free agency. But you know, we just going with the flow. I mean, everything's been so unpredictable with this year, so we'll just see what happens.
Yeah. And I know, you know, who knows what the future holds. You know, I'm just a Jazz fan. I look at Alec Burks and I'm, you know, you're a bucket getter. Like, you're playing really well in the playoffs all season. And I'm thinking, man, I think we could use an Alec Burks on this team. Now, would you ever rule out, or, you know, would you ever even think about coming back to Utah?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would come back. In a heartbeat, I would. I think so. I think that, man, the love, you know, first off, they drafted me, like you said earlier, the love they always got for me, showed me and you and my family, I definitely would be open to it. I don't know how that's really going to fit, really, to be honest, at this point right now in my career and what they got going on the team, the active roster. But, you know, if it presents itself in this right situation, I definitely would.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about, like, the draft and when you were drafted, that is. I was watching just today kind of the video of you getting drafted and kind of, you know, putting on the Jazz hat and talking on ESPN, and you can just tell, you know, you're like a kid basically, and you're a lottery pick. Yeah. And what was that like, you know, and Ennis just got picked right before you, and you guys kind of were together for a lot of your career here. Can you think back to, you know, like that kid, because now you're a vet, now you're the guy giving people advice. What's life like now compared to then? And can you remember those times?
Uh, I mean, yes, like you said, I was a kid. I was 19 when I got drafted, and I'm 29 now. Yeah, just turned 29. So it's a world where I was big. I wouldn't say big eye, wide eye, but you know, I was young and naive at the same time. I'm a grown man now, family man, with kids. So I just see life differently as then when I was back then. You know, so it's just different times. You know, and especially the league is different now too. So it made me adjust differently, you know. But you know, at that time, you couldn't tell me nothing in the world. I just got drafted, my dream come true. It was an amazing time in my life. I'll never forget.
Yeah, I know that a lot of jazz fans, like I said, everybody loves you that loves the jazz, and you had a couple rough injuries. You know, some unfortunate things happen with, you know, your leg and your shoulder, and it kind of cut your jazz career, just kind of put it on a different path. And I know that one guy, I know this because I was right there watching, and that really helped you through it was Johnny Bryant. And, you know, Johnny just took a job with the Knicks as an assistant coach. I kind of want to get your take on Johnny and how he helped you not only progress as a player, but just, you know, rehab and come back from those injuries.
Man, he helped me a lot, you know. Man, he's just a good dude. I think he gets to know you off the court, and then it just makes a relationship on the court better, man. He's just a great dude, man. I don't think I'd be where I'm at, you know, without the help, you know. Without meeting him in my year, I think he just showed me how to be professional on the court, you know, just showed me how to work hard. And like you said, I had some unfortunate injuries, and I think him and there was some medical people that helped me out a lot, that, you know, around Utah. That's why I got love for Utah, man, because the people around the city and some people, the medical people that working like in the actual hospital, they helped me out a lot, you know, with my rehab. And I'll just never forget them people, man, because that was some tough times for me, and they helped me get through it, you know.
Yeah. Do you feel like Johnny's destined to be a head coach in the NBA?
I think so. I think a lot of people on Quinn's staff, you know, I think is eventually going to be head coaches, man. I think he's breeding that. You can see, man, with Igor, I think AJ's probably up next. You know, Wellesley, you know, Lamar, Watt. I mean, and Johnny's leaving too. Tony Elaine, he's a second, and he in Cleveland. I mean, I think Quinn is definitely producing head coaches, so I think they all will get a shot, you know.
What's that like as a player? You know, like let's say Johnny was your coach, and then he leaves to be a coach in a different team. Are you happy, you know, for him and taking a different job, or is it a tough transition when like your position coach or your guy kind of leaves your team?
No, I think it's, you want that to happen. I mean, I feel like, in my opinion, I don't know how everybody feels. So I think you'd be selfish to try to hold somebody back. You know, everybody wants to grow. You want to grow as a player, so they would feel the same way, you know, the bros and vice versa. So I think I would feel that's an amazing thing, man. Somebody being a coach, especially it's so hard to get head coaching job, that's a blessing. You know, I would never, you know, feel no type of way about it.
Yeah. Speaking of coaching, I know you've played for a few coaches now, including a couple coaches on the Jazz. What was your relationship like with Quinn, and how is he different than like other coaches in the NBA?
Man, Quinn, I mean, first, his mind, his basketball mind is just amazing. And I think the things he's just always moving, he's always thinking of something. That's why I think it makes him a good coach, you know, great X and O's, man, know how to relate to the team, get you to bring the best out of you. That's what you need as a coach, man. You know, he demands respect, and he's going to give it to him. He's going to get the same respect back. So that's why I like him so much.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to play a little game. I'm going to say a former Jazz teammate you've had, and just kind of say the first thing that pops in your head, and it can be anything. You know, it can be like, oh, he loves turkey sandwiches at Subway, whatever. It can just be anything you want. Al Jefferson,
5-hour energy drink. That was my rookie duty game. I would never forget that, man. He made me bring him 5-hour every game. I'd have my 5-hour energy drink, you know. And to this day, I see him. He always talks about it, man. I got nothing but love for him, you know.
my last guest on my last podcast was Elijah Millsap. So what pops in mind, man, when you think of Eli?
Eli's good people too. You saying, what you think, you want me to say? Eli, man, hard working, good dude, man. Come from a good family of people, man. That's a great dude right there.
Okay. What about Joe Ingles?
Oh, man, character. Character, man. You can't take him serious. Character.
What about D-Fave?
Oh, man, solid, man. Solid, very real, solid guy right there, man. Misunderstood, too. He might not talk a lot, but you get to know him, man. He's a great dude, too.
Jeremy Evans.
No, Dunk Champ. Without a doubt. Dunk Champ, man.
Dunk Champ. What about Gordon Hayward?
Gordon, man, hey, Gordon a good dude, too. I don't know how, you know, this podcast is going to go over saying that he's a good dude, but he's a great dude, man. Great player, too. Unfortunate injury, too, he had, but he bounced back, you know, definitely. Yeah.
What about Donovan Mitchell?
Oh man, superstar in the making. Real humble guy, you know. Worked for everything he got, he deserved it, you know.
Now this is my last one. I want you to talk about Rudy. Now, this is my 27th episode of this podcast, and I always I like to tie it to like someone's jersey number. It's just kind of a fun little thing to do. The only player who's ever worn 27 on the Jazz, Rudy Gobert. You saw his career, a lot of it, right? He was drafted in 2013. You've been on the team a couple years. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit, not just one word, but just talk to me a little bit about Rudy and seeing his development and seeing him come in, and he's so raw when he was a rookie, and he couldn't, the game was so different from, you know, the European game, and see where he's gone to today.
Oh, man, like you said, the kid just came in lanky, man, 7 foot, just raw, you know, you're just into American life, and then 2 years from now, man, two-time defensive player of the year, all-star, man, and superstar. It's just amazing to see the work he's put in himself, you know, and the work that actually, you know, Dennis and JV and Quinn and the coaching staff, you know, the player development team that put it in them too, man. AJ works on them every day, and I feel like it shows into who he is today. So it's just amazing to see, you know.
Yeah. We kind of talked about Donovan a little bit. Were you watching that series and just kind of seeing the battle with him and Jamal Murray? Like, have you seen two guys go at it like that, like they were going just head to head?
In the NBA, it's definitely has been, I think, but I don't know if them two, they age, they're just so young. I don't think I've seen that before. You know, just two special talents going, putting it all on the line for their team to win. That's, you can't beat that, you know?
Yeah. Do you think, going back to like bubble talk, like bubble playoff basketball, do you think it favors teams who are young, or do you think it favors teams who are veterans, because, you know, the quick turnarounds, every other day playing, is that tough on your body? This is, okay, two-part question. So do you feel like it favors young teams or veteran teams?
I think it favors teams who can normalize it. Easily, whoever can make it, you know, normal, to make it as normal as possible, I think that's who it favors, you know, because anybody, you can play basketball, you know, that's what you do. You can play as much as you can. Whoever normalized that setting that we was in, I think that's who it favors more.
As you personally, like, would you rather play like you were in the bubble every other day but with no travel, or would you rather play, travel, have 3 days in between, and then play again in a different city? What would you prefer?
I regular schedule, easily regular schedule, because, you know, I can be around my family, you know, that's a safe place, you know, that's where you go when you want to get away from the court, you know. I feel like that, I would pick the regular way any day of the week.
Now, getting away, like, are you still watching the playoffs, or do you kind of just like to just totally unplug and you don't even really care, or are you a fan and you want to watch the playoffs and see how teams do?
I mean, I watch here and there. I mostly watch people like I really know. Like, I watch Utah because I actually, you know, build real relationships with people, you know, there. And I watch a couple of other people that, like, I actually got relationships with. But besides that, you know, I think I see here and there, like, highlights, you know.
Yeah. Do you have any opinion on which team? I don't even know if you can answer. Just, like, what do you have an opinion on who might win it all?
Whoever don't want to lead a bubble pass. That's what I think.
Could you see it down there? Could you see that, like, guys, like, I think everybody probably wants to leave, but can you tell, like, oh yeah, that guy wants to leave, and then, like, his game showed.
I don't know if I can really tell. I think at the end of the day, professionals, we can do our jobs to the best of our ability. But I think that's going to play a factor in some cases, I feel like, for sure. You know, definitely in playoff series.
Going back to, like, your jazz playing days, what comes to mind? Like, what memories or what games or what shots or teammates? Like, what comes to mind, like, first when you think about, like, your favorite memories of, like, playing for the Jazz?
Favorite couple of them is when getting drafted, that's probably one. Two was probably, it's either Gordon hit the shot on Cleveland to win the game or beating the Clippers first round. That was, them two was tough. Them two great series. And after that's Kobe's last game for sure. That was amazing. God bless the dead. But that was amazing.
Yeah. That's one topic I wanted to get your opinion on is Kobe. I know you played against him quite a bit. You guys had battles. What did his game, because I talked to Eli about this, and you know, he says Kobe kind of was the one he patterned himself after. I don't know if that's your case, but like, what did Kobe mean to you and to the game? And what do you think his legacy will eventually be?
I won't say I patterned myself my game after him, but I think his work ethic, his determination to be the best player ever, it was ever unmatched. I think he changed the game. You know, I think the change in the game, people saw the game, the way they worked on the game, the way their mentality going towards the game, inside the game. He was a different breed, man. It's just a sad situation that happened, man. It's just sad talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, even if people who aren't basketball fans, I think everyone kind of will remember where they were when they heard about Kobe. I'm sure you were on the road somewhere, probably getting ready for a game or something. Do you remember just that moment? Not that we need to spend too much time on it, but it was just kind of one of those shocking, like, you'll never forget it.
Yeah, I was in practice on the floor, like practicing drills. And I think I forgot who yelled it to Steve Kerr, because I was with Golden State early in the year. I forgot who yelled it to him, and then everybody just stopped. You could tell people talking, and the whole thing just stopped because they yelled. They said it out loud, and everybody just, we sat on the court for a good 20 minutes in silence. Nobody said nothing. And we all just went home. Steve told everybody to go home and go hug your loved ones, which was a real thing at the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely just one of the craziest, saddest events, I'm sure, of your life, of my life. It's just, it's hard. It almost seems surreal still. Like, you almost kind of expect to turn on TNT and see Kobe sitting there with, like, Chuck and Kenny and Shaq and just kind of talking about the game. And it's almost like, because it kind of happened right before, like, COVID and stuff, it almost just seems like it's not real. And, yeah, I think, I don't know if we'll know his legacy fully until, you know, maybe years from now when people realize how great he actually was. I know that everybody, I think people realize it, but I don't know if they really give him his full due because he was so great.
I think they give his own court justice even before he passed, because he was just such a dominant player, Hall of Famer, one of the best to do it. But I think off the court is really going to show, you know, in these years later in life, because, you know, people don't start getting glimpses of who he really was off the court, you know.
What was that last game like, his last game? Because from my seat, you know, I'm sitting at home tweeting for the Jazz. It's the last game of the year, and the Jazz are up, and then suddenly Kobe decides to just go crazy and just epic.
I didn't play. I was hurt. I was one of the unfortunate injuries I had. I couldn't play, but I was there, and it was just, I mean, you wouldn't expect nobody else to go out like that. You know, you're supposed to go out like that, you know, on a white horse, you know. He was missing shots, and he just started making everything, you know. You got to just, that's the basketball guys, you know. You can't do nothing about that.
Yeah. Now, I know, like I mentioned before, like Jazz fans, like I think we got nothing but love for AB. you're a guy, like what's, you know, something that comes to mind, or like when you think about Jazz fans, or is there, you know, something like a message you want to like say to fans? Because I know you're on social media, you know, you don't tweet too much, but every now and then you'll say something. Yeah. But you know, like, what do you want to say to Jazz fans out there?
Oh man, the love is real. You know, not everything, the love wasn't real. You know, it's mutual. you know. The love just shown, just giving back, you know. And I think you can run into anybody else running to me out there, you know. I show love back to whoever shows love to me, you know.
Yeah. The thing I kind of want to end on is I want to know more about the shows you were binge watching and the bubble. What TV shows do you got going on, at least maybe in the bubble or now? Like, what did you get into?
Well, before the bubble, you know, it was a lockdown, you know, so I got into Tiger King and Ozarks and all of that, Money Hype. I got into all that, you know. In the bubble, I started watching, I don't know if it was Last Chance You on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
I started watching that and, like old rerun shows, just binge watching that. I watch some movies and this different stuff, you know, to pass the time, you know. It wasn't one show, it was a whole bunch of different stuff.
What would you say is your favorite? Like, do you have like a favorite TV show that's like, you know, like, oh, that's the GOAT TV show, like your favorite series ever?
It's got to be Martin. I know it's old, probably everybody says that, but Martin probably is my favorite show.
Yeah, Martin. Did you see the new Bad Boys movie?
Yeah, I saw it. I actually watched it crazy enough, the whole thing yesterday with my wife. It was crazy. He was laughing.
That dude is so funny. I was thinking about the first Bad Boys and just how like he and Will Smith are like at this perfect stage of their life. Like Will's kind of like breaking out of Fresh Prince and Martin's got his show and they're just so young. And it was just so funny. Like that's, I don't know if there's a better like duo than those guys.
I know. It's crazy. You had to go from the bad, young Bad Boys to the old Uncle Grab Boys in the last.
Well, AB, I really appreciate you taking the time. I was really happy that you agreed to come on Jazzed. It was really nice to like just kind of see your message and say that you're down. It's been fun following you. I know that all Jazz fans, we were rooting for you, even though we might not be the biggest Sixers fans. We're AB fans, you know, we're Neto fans. Like we're seeing you on the court, seeing you playing, seeing crunch time. Like it was just really fun.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, the love is love. You know, love is real. You know what it is.
And before I go, I got to ask you, can I get a shout out?
Oh, man. Back in that time, maybe, but now, I don't know. You love me to get lucky to get a tweet from me now.
All right, AB. Well, we're going to follow you. Best of luck, you know, in this off season, and when the season actually starts, who knows? Best of luck in free agency. I think we'll definitely be following wherever you land. And hey, I'm a fan. If you want to come back to the Jazz and the Jazz want you back, like, I mean, I'm going to sign off on it right now.
I appreciate the love, my guy.